Hey, I want to welcome Gemma to the studio. Good morning.
Morning.
If you don't know Gemma, Gemma's like the new Sarah. Or you're sick of being introduced as,
no,
as the
I'm
new still, Sarah?
No, I'm really happy being Sarah 2.0.
Sarah 2.0. Yeah. Okay. So specifically, what is your job, though? Let's say it properly.
Communications and behaviour change lead.
And how did Sarah describe it when they were advertising
The walking variety show of extreme zero waste.
Okay.
That's more accurate.
That's more accurate. Did that attract you to the role when you read that?
Absolutely.
Interesting. But you were already in Raglan, so you knew about extreme, I guess.
Yeah. And also... Extreme's pretty well regarded outside of Whangaroa as well. It's held up pretty highly within the world of like waste and community like resilient solutions. So
you were down in Wellington some years ago.
Yeah.
Doing what were you doing there? Remind me about that, because I know we talked about this last time. But
yeah, so I was working at the tip shop the recycle centre, which is like the Wellington City Council version of Extreme Zero Waste. Not as community driven.
Yeah.
Pretty epic though. The tip shop is a great name.
And you guys were working there, you were aware of Extreme and the work done up here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Working at the centre down there, like I was saying, Extreme's held up as kind of like the model around NZ of like what people want to be working like, how we want to be working.
Yeah. Okay. So I was at the last community board meeting, and some of the managers from Extreme were there, were presenting the report about what's been happening out at Te Uku. Also, the other rural drop-offs, but Te Uku's been the focus because there's been a relative amount of mayhem out there, from not caused by Extreme, caused by customers, or some who weren't official customers. Like I knew anecdotally people who live out there saying they knew that people were coming from Hamilton and dumping. They'd say so. They'd tell them. They'd go down to put their recycling there, and someone would be there saying, oh, yeah, I'm just coming to the beach, but I know I can drop it for free here. So we already knew that. But what does the report actually say? Tell us about the report and what was done and sort of the takeaways from it.
Yeah. So it was November last year, 2023, and we had folks hanging out at the recycle centre and checking in with what people were dropping off, where they had come from and where they were heading to. They weren't like there providing education specifically on like what could or couldn't go into the recycling. It was they were there trying to be relatable and just get info from who was using the services so we could try get a better idea. Because like you said, we had all this kind of anecdotal comments. About what was happening at the site, but this gave us really good info about who was actually rocking up at the site.
It was for 8 days or something. Was it through the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And yeah, they were there.
Although November's not a big, it's not quite fully into summer, is it?
Like, no, but there's still like quite a lot of traffic moving through that space, you know, longer days. We've hit daylight saving at that point.
Yes.
I mean, I remember pulling up there as well at the time, like I could see, I was like, oh, what's happening? Are they doing sort of waste education? What's happening?
Yeah, it's all happening. But
And from that, we got really good info that it wasn't just Te Uku residents who are using the services there. It's the next biggest group were people from Whangaroa, Raglan coming out and using the services there.
Yeah, and these are people who presumably have their own street pickup that they have available once a week.
Yeah.
And this did, I know at the community board meeting that did have people scratching their heads. No one was really able to explain that.
Yeah. So it's like we've got our curbside collections that run from Tuesday to Friday for folks, like for us who live in town here.
We shouldn't have to announce that, though, should we?
Yeah.
Should we? Maybe we do.
We need a reminder of this, eh?
Yeah.
And we've got the overflow to come up to Extreme and check out at Kahoos as well. So, yeah, it is a bit baffling, but the site there out at Te Uku is for Te Uku rural residents who don't have a curbside collection. They don't have that any time. And same with the dropout point out at Te Mata. It's for Te Mata community residents.
And just to give the numbers, we pulled the numbers up out of the community board meeting minutes. So there were, during those days, they had 116 people from the Te Uku area dropping off. They had 62 from Raglan.
It's quite a lot. And we also factored in that there would have been people who potentially used the services there that, you know, saw people were, you know, monitoring the site or hanging out there, that were potentially deterred as well from hanging there. So
at the community board meeting, Nina did say that they'd seen people pull up and then leave again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as soon as there was a person there, they're like, oh, we better behave ourselves.
Yeah. So those are the recycling depots for the rural community.
Yeah.
And it's a real shame when we have folks wanting to pull up and, you know, recycle their wash and squash, like clean recyclables, and the site is just slammed or dirty or there's dumping out there. And it's a shame that that makes it harder for those residents to access it then.
Yeah, something Nina said too at the meeting was that, I mean, obviously those people went away who were must have presumably wanting to dump illegally, but the, all sorts of stuff was dumped after hours when Extreme staff had gone, including one morning there were five mattresses. They pulled up five mattresses. Because it, I mean, it is cheaper to dump it illegally. That's true. But it's illegal.
Yeah, we get it. Like, mattresses can be steep, especially if you've got five of them that you are wanting to dump. But equally, dumping them in a public space is illegal, and it's not a fun time for your neighbours to rock up and want to use the services there and not be able to access, you know, the site. And there's heaps we can do to prevent, like, our mattresses and couches and big, like, soft furnitures getting to that point where we have to dump them.
Yes.
And I suppose that's the last resort then, of thinking if you're going to be landfilling it, factoring in for a while that that might cost a little bit. But that that big item is going into a big hole in the ground in Hampton Downs, and you're never going to have to, like, see it again, you know. So it's kind of like paying for rental space in the landfill that it's going to live in forever after.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about now about preserving your furniture?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just common sense, I guess. Like, if you're thinking you've got your mattresses, mattress covers don't have to be fancy and expensive. They don't have to cost like $200 from Briscoe's. You can go grab a $2 blanket from Kahoos, or a really nice max price $5 or $10 one from Kahoos, and have that over, which is going to make it last way longer. It's so much easier to be cleaning like your covers than to be trying to clean a mattress. And same with couches. Lots of the couches we'll see coming up to site just are from households where the pets have kind of been living on the couch, or they're scratched, or they've just got so much dog hair on it, and just having a blankie that you chuck over it when your dog is going to hop up onto the couch can make it last like years longer.
Okay, so this is preemptive. This is caring for it.
Yeah. Equally, we've also seen people who've come up to site and been a bit like confronted, I guess, by the cost of dropping off a mattress. It's set by volume, you know, not by weight, like going through a weighbridge. So we do it on the volume, and it's quite a large volume if you're thinking about a couch and mattress.
Yeah, just to explain that for people in Hamilton, when you go in, they weigh your vehicle on the way in and on the way out.
Yeah.
And then they also charge, they have a minimum fee of $35. I looked this up because this came up at the community board meeting. So, and things like mattresses, especially the modern ones, they're quite lightweight. So, unfortunately, if you go to Extreme and you've got a lightweight thing, you're paying by volume. On the other hand, if you took something that was densely constructed to Hamilton, you'd be paying quite highly for that because it's by weight. So, there's the technicalities and the reality. Yeah. But you said that some people actually pull apart their mattresses.
Yeah. There's YouTube videos on it. There's some really great how-tos.
Okay.
I got into a bit of a hole at looking on how to deconstruct mattresses, which we're not going to go through the step-by-step breakthrough this morning. But if you do want to get down a hole, looking at mattress deconstruction is entertaining. Particularly like the old ones, most of it is just the springs.
Once you get them out, they'll squash.
Yeah, and then you can put that into metal recycling. And also some people cut off the bottoms of those real old mattresses. It's actually like a coconut fibre husk, which people, like folks, chuck in their garden.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And then you've just got the wood frame and a tiny bit of fabric left. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right. So that's those are options out there, folks, if you're short of cash but got time.
if you want a project.
Yeah, just get on YouTube. It has all the answers, as per usual these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there were also other problems with Tiuku site, like people getting in and just jamming stuff everywhere, forcing the staff to clean up. And the end result, they said at the community board meeting, was there's a rural rate take, that targeted rate, especially to rural people for these drop-off centres. And at the moment, there's so much work required to service them that there's not enough money officially to service it. So the rest of the money is coming out of the general rate. So the first thing is, could Raglan people please not go there?
Yeah, stick to your curbside collection day, eh?
Yeah. That seems like a really simple solution. I can't work out why there's so many. Maybe somebody knows, but I don't know. It's convenient to drop it off on your way to Hamilton, but it's also very convenient to put it on your curb.
Yeah, I think it's definitely closer to pop it to the curb than to pull out in Tiuku. Definitely. Yeah.
Also, I want to say, people were also coming from, did mention Hamilton and Huntley, Auckland. There must have been like someone going back to Auckland. But otherwise, oh, I know my business park, so there shouldn't be people, presumably from businesses, dropping off. Is this a household drop-off?
Yeah. So if you're a business, you're responsible for servicing your waste. Yeah.
Do you guys do pickups for businesses?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. If you've seen the big curtain cider white truck rolling around town, that is what is servicing all of our business collection. And we have free food waste collection for any of our businesses wanting to hop on in the next month to the end of June.
Yep.
Because that can make up a large portion of what goes into your landfill bin. So you're going to be paying more for landfill. And that can be reduced heaps by if you tack on setting up a food waste collection bin.
So people just call the office or email?
Yeah, call the office. Yeah, 0800 extreme, not the actual number.
That's not a real number? You just said that as a joke. What's the real number? Do you know the number? It's a landline, Gemma.
It is. 07825 6509.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's... is that everything we wanted to say or you wanted to say about Tiuku and Tim?
Just the last note is, just making sure whether you're a Tiuku resident well, definitely you should be a Tuku resident. So all of our Whangaroa community should be using the curbside or heading up to Extreme. So there's like quite high contamination rates of what was turning up over that survey period back in November. And then also continually as well.
So people putting rubbish in the recycling of the rubbish.
Yeah, so it's mainly items that just aren't washed, items that still have food on them. Nowhere on the collection truck. It's that same curtain cider truck that services all of our businesses that then goes out to Te Mata and Tiuku to service the containers. So nowhere on that truck, or nowhere when that truck gets back to Extreme Zero Waste to go to the processing room, is there anywhere to wash the recyclables.
Also, it would add too much time. If that was happening, it wouldn't be worth the money.
Nah. We had a site tour up last week, and one of the folks that came into the processing room where all of our recycling comes to, and they were saying, oh, so like, where do things get washed? Where's the washing machine? There is no washing machine anywhere along that process, eh? So, yeah, I mean, it sounds straightforward, but we just got to keep up with the reminders. It's like washed and squashed recyclables. Yeah,
and traditionally we've always done that in Raglan Well since 2000 when Extreme started.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe for... I want to explain, because I've learned a heap about Extreme over the years. For people who've just arrived and going, well, this is a service, why do we have to wash it? Why shouldn't Extreme wash it? Like, Extreme is a community group, a non-profit organisation, and if we throw work onto them, then that just bounces back to us. First of all, it bounces back to us in the form of higher costs, but also it's our community group, and it employs a lot of local people. There was like one person employed at the old dump pre-2000, and there's now 40-odd people employed, so... Yeah, it's an interesting story. If you're new to town and you want to know more about it, go to the website.
We came across the video you'd made the other day.
Oh, yeah, you've seen that.
Yeah, it's been circulating around a bit more. People have been
Oh, you put it on Facebook?
Yeah, we reshared it on Facebook because folks were chatting about it. We found some of the old photos. We had a clear out in one of the top areas in Kahu's Nest, and some of the old photos surfaced again.
From the early days.
Yeah, which I think you'd already scanned up, Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a nice prompt. It was like people reflecting back, and you could see all the collections and... you know, kids rummaging around in the paper bins and
the good old days.
The good old days.
So that's, I just wanted to throw that in there in case anyone need to, you know, just wants to understand. And I guess that the only other question is what happens next. There's obviously a problem that needs to be sorted out there. And a part of this is messaging. People in Raglan, please don't use the Tiuku site when we've got our own system. What else happens next?
Yeah, so Team at Extreme are looking. Team Extreme, we're looking at options as to if
it can be done profitably. Well, not profitably, just at cost.
Yeah,
would be good at this point in time.
I mean, the intention is that services the Te Uku community, and there's lots of barriers to that community to be accessing that service for now. So we're looking at what the other options are to provide.
I know that's not your job, it's the manager's doing that.
Nothing set in concrete yet, but we're definitely like chatting through options.
All right, what else did you want to talk about this morning?
We have had Matt Walker come on board in the last month as our GM, which is exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been in full sponge mode.
So Steve's retired from the job.
Yeah.
Which is a job he never wanted, actually.
He had to take
the finance guy, but then he had to take over the GM's position at a time all of a sudden. So, yeah. So he's retired from that. And so Matt's just learning at this point. He's only been there a week or two.
Yeah, probably about 3 weeks
about
now.
3 weeks? Yeah.
So next time we chat on the radio, it'd be good to have him come on board. He hopefully won't be like swimming quite as fast then, trying to get across all of the mechanics of Extreme.
We'll test him and see what he's learned. Ask him some tricky questions.
But that's been real great. Yeah, he's been learning real quick, hopping out on the trucks, hopping out across all the site, hopping to the community board meetings.
Do you want to talk about, have you been out on the trucks? Did you go out on the trucks?
Yeah, so I did earlier.
Just to get a taste of it?
Yeah. I was thinking about that yesterday because it's a really good way of just seeing what's actually happening between Extreme and between all of us as like community members. So I was thinking that the other day. I was like, I think I'm gonna hop on the tracks again soon. And
I did that. Yeah. I did that a couple of times when I was making the film.
And
probably health and safety would stop me from doing it now, but I just stood in where the cardboard bin was and jumped up and down.
I did think that when I was looking at the video the other day. I was like, these are some really good shots. Like, I wonder how Aaron got these.
Yeah, I was in the cardboard cage. Yeah, and there were little moments like you feel for the guys, like someone had left a box and it looked like paper waste on the side of the road. It wasn't that big. And one of the boys picked it up and he threw it in upside down. When he lifted up the box, there was all this rubbish and stuff on top of it. And we both just groaned. We're like, oh, you know,
it's
like
frustrating.
Yeah, it's just a little more mess for the boys to clean up.
Yeah, they're just out there trying to do a good job.
And it might have been a forgetful thing by the person who did it. I don't know, but it was just a little eye-opener into the challenges they have.
Yeah, especially coming into like wetter, rainier seasons. It kind of helps with the washed and squashed, like plastics and cans. We should always be washing and squashing like at home before we put things into the curbside, but you know, they sometimes get an extra rinse this time of year. But it does make it a bit hard with the cardboard and paper, like it gets pretty soggy and it gets pretty heavy. So stick to the morning of if you can, of putting your curbside out the morning of rather than the night before, particularly if there's going to be heavy rain. And winds, or else it's just going to blow down into the harbour,
Yeah, the weather out here is a little bit challenging in winter.
Yeah.
And are we talking about the MFE directive? Are we talking about that on the air? No, we're not.
We'll chat that through with Matt next time.
Okay, all right, we'll do that next time. That was just a conversation.
That was a teaser.
I made a note here, so I should have scribbled that out. But that will be an interesting conversation, folks. Stay tuned for a few weeks' time, maybe. I'm not sure when. We haven't booked that one. Okay, so, folks, we're talking to Gemma from Extreme. Is there anything else you want to say? Bring up? No?
Washed and squashed recyclables.
Just wash and squash.
Washed and squashed.
And take the caps off, folks. There's something else I did. I've filmed the guys just sorting, and it's like a blur of hands. It's quite exciting to watch. Mm. But every time a bottle with a cap on, it stops them, slows them down, and there's about 10 or 12 bottles that they could have sorted in that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's so instinctive to put that. You feel like you've been tidy by putting the cap back on.
Yeah, keep your lids off. Yeah, keep your lids off.
What do we do with the lids? Here's the nitty-gritty for the recycling. What do we do with the lids? Because they're little.
Yeah, start your collections at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can put them in the rubbish, but you can...
Yeah, start collecting up your plastics and start collecting up your metals. Hopefully we will have a robust, like, recycling solution for them soon.
Okay, well, people have to take it up, yeah. So you get a little box, take it up to site.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know there's people keen to do all the things that they can.
Yeah. Start building up your collections.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, Gemma, thanks heaps for coming in.
Thanks heaps.